Good to see you this morning, and we're going to take just a few moments before we observe the Lord's Supper and just talk about what our Lord has done for us as we remember His sacrifice. All across America today, people will be, this week, will be observing Thanksgiving, and hopefully around the tables in homes, people will be offering up thanks to God for many, many blessings. But I think as Christians, we certainly are people who have been so blessed. And one of the ways that we have been blessed is through our salvation, for what God has done for us, provided for us in Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul never lost the wonder of God saving him. He lived with a thankful heart. He wrote with a thankful pen. And he witnessed to people and reminded people of what God had done for them as they came to know Christ. By the blood of Christ, they were forgiven, their sins washed away. And Paul writes in this second chapter of Colossians, two verses that I want us to focus on this morning. As Paul reminds the Colossian Christians of what Christ has done for them, he says in verses 13 and 14, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." I want to just focus on two things this morning very quickly. One is our condition before we met Christ. Paul says that you were spiritually dead. Now think about that for a moment. Spiritually dead. Before the Holy Spirit awakened us to our need of God and our need of salvation, our need of forgiveness, we were spiritually unable to respond to Him. Dead implies an inability to respond. And because we were spiritually dead, we were unable to respond to God's love and God's grace and God's salvation until God began to move in our lives. God began to awaken us to that realization that we were separated from God, that we needed God, that there was something missing in our lives, that we were people that were sinners. We knew it and we understood it only as God's Holy Spirit began to awaken us to the realization of our need of Him. Now, being spiritually dead means that we were powerless, absolutely powerless, to break the power of sin over our lives. We were locked into a sinful lifestyle. We were a people that had no ability to communicate with God in a real and personal way. You know, a lot of times you'll hear people say, "Well, I found the Lord." Well, the truth of the matter is, the Lord found you. Because of our deadness, our inability to communicate with God and to reach toward God, God reached down to us, and we had no more power to raise ourselves out of our sinful condition than a dead man had to raise himself out of his own death. So Paul is laying out a very vivid picture here of us before Christ. We were spiritually dead. But he also says the second thing, we were personally guilty. Why? Because we were dead in our trespasses and the uncircumcision of our hearts. Now, the word for trespasses literally means to fall beside. It's a picture of someone that not only falls aside by breaking the laws of God, but he gets off the path of truth and of uprightness and righteousness. In other words, he has missed what God has for him. And Paul says we were dead in our trespasses. Now, uncircumcision of the flesh in a spiritual sense means that our hearts have not been changed and our nature has not been regenerated. That is, we now are a people without the Spirit of God indwelling us until Christ comes into our lives. So a person who is dead in their sins and has an unchanged heart and an unchanged nature is going to live a lifestyle that is not only contrary to God, but is also contrary to the ways and the purposes that God has for our lives. It is the condition of every person who is lost, that is, without Jesus. You see, God uses a lot of things to begin to awaken us to our need of Him. He uses the gospel. He uses the witness of another Christian. Sometimes He uses our own conscience, but He begins to awaken and arouse in us an awareness that something is not right in our lives. You know, it sort of reminds me of what Genesis 1:1 says and verse 2. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without void, and darkness was over the face of the earth." And it says, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth." And I think that's the way God works in our lives as well. He hovers over us, awakening us to the realization that we need the light of the gospel. We need the truth of the gospel. We need Jesus Christ as our Savior. So the Apostle Paul lays it out very clearly. Our condition without Jesus Christ is hopeless. It's a place where we are that we are absolutely helpless to help ourselves. But he didn't stop there. He says, but here's what happened. Verse 14. He says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Now, what did God do? When we were awakened to the realization that we were a sinner, and we began to realize our need of Christ, and we were willing to acknowledge our sin, Paul says that God took that handwriting, and the word there literally means autograph. It's what a person signs when they owe a debt. Like if you take out a note or a loan, you sign on the bottom line, and you are signing your name saying that I owe this debt. It is a debt to be paid. And Paul is saying there that God took that when we were willing to acknowledge that we were a sinner, that we were separated from God. God was willing to take that handwritten autograph that we sign acknowledging our debt, and upon our confession of our sin and our receiving of the debt that Christ paid for us on the cross, God says, when we acknowledge that, He nailed our debt to the cross in the person of Jesus Christ, and we became people who were and are forgiven. So it is by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is by our acknowledgement of our sin that God says, not only are you now exonerated, but your debt is paid in full. Imagine that, if you will. Your sin debt is fully paid. He said that he has forgiven us all our trespasses. What are the characteristics of God's forgiveness? Well, I think we could define that in basically three different ways. First of all, it is gracious. The word forgiveness literally comes from the root word that we get our word grace. God graciously forgives us. We cannot earn it. We cannot be good enough. He graciously grants us forgiveness of all our trespasses. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, he said, being justified freely by his grace. Which simply means you and I didn't earn it. We can't buy it. The only way that our forgiveness is attained is by what Christ has done for us in nailing our sins to himself on the cross. But not only is his grace, his forgiveness gracious, but it is complete. Notice what he says here. He has forgiven us of all our sin. All of it. Past, present, and future. Paul was a man that understood the marvelous grace of God. Paul once said of himself, I am the chief of sinners. So he understood what it meant to be forgiven and to know that all of his sins blotted out, erased when he professed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we might say that his forgiveness is unequaled. You know, there's a great Old Testament verse in Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. It says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? Micah said, who's a God like that, that graciously forgives us of our sin? Who is a God who stands ready to wipe the slate clean for any man who will acknowledge his need and his need of forgiveness through Christ? You see, God's forgiveness is something you can count on. It's total, it's complete, it's forever. Your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. And God wants you to live that way. God wants you to know that you are a person who does not have to carry around the burden and the weight of your sin because you have been completely forgiven of the consequences of sin. Now please listen. Yes, we've been forgiven of the consequences of sin, but that doesn't mean that we're never going to sin again. We're freed from the consequences, but we're not freed from sinning again. But those sins that we commit, God be thanked that every single one of them are forgiven through Jesus Christ. If you are saved this morning, it is because God has made you alive through Jesus Christ. He has joined your heart to his heart. It's just as Christ was raised from the dead, you have been raised in Christ also from spiritual death. And Paul is boldly declaring here that a dead man can be completely restored to God. A man spiritually dead can be given a new heart and a new nature and a new life. Why? Because of the work that Christ did for us. on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And how is that possible? It's possible by surrendering your life to Christ. It's possible by acknowledging your sin debt to the Lord. It's possible by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into your life and receiving Him as the only one who could forgive you completely, who could forgive all your sin, and who could make you right with God. If you are saved today, dear friend, it is by the grace of God. It is by His grace that He opened your heart to the realization of your need to be saved. And it is because of Jesus' death on the cross that your sin debt has been fully paid. And you are today a person in the eyes of God, forgiven. Forgiven. When you think of all you have to be thankful for, I hope you will not forget that the thing you have to be most thankful for is your salvation. Is the fact that when you die, there's no sin debt hanging over you. It's been paid for. And now you have life and the opportunity for eternal life because of what Christ has done. Blotting out the handwriting, our own autograph, our own sin list, He blotted out when we acknowledged Him as our Savior and our Lord. I want to ask you to bow with me for just a moment, and then we're going to observe the Lord's Supper this morning. I want to just ask very quietly, you can remain seated. I just want to ask you, in the privacy of your heart right now, has there been a time when you realized that you were a sinner and you realized you could not save yourself? And God began to work in your life. You began to realize your need of Christ, your need of forgiveness. And that was the Holy Spirit bringing you to that moment of confession where you were willing to humble yourself and surrender your life to Christ and acknowledge your sinfulness to Him. If you've never done that, I would encourage you this morning, open your heart to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Acknowledge you're a sinner to Him. Invite Him into your heart. He loves you that much. Here's what I'm going to ask our musicians to do. Just to play through a verse. And in the quietness of this moment, would you search your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart. And say, Lord Jesus, if I'm not saved, I pray today I will be. If I'm not absolutely sure, Lord, I want to be sure. And I acknowledge to You my sin. And I invite You into my heart right now. If you are a believer, say a word of thanks to Him. That you don't have to go to bed at night with that heavy burden of sin on your shoulders, in your heart, and in your mind. Because of Jesus and His death on the cross, that burden of sin has been lifted, and you're forgiven. ask our men, if they will, to step forward as we prepare the table. Receive the Lord's Supper this morning.